Good morning. Happy New Year to all of you. In case you don't realize it, as you get older, it seems time goes faster and faster. And I was just getting used to 2015, and now it's 2016. So just remember, when you write your checks, you have to change to the date, that kind of thing. That is, if you use checks, right? Okay. Like to read for you the passage that I'll be preaching on, Mark chapter 1, 16 through 20. You'll find it in the front of your program. Mark chapter 1, 16 to 20. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Let's pray together for a moment. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this past year. And yes, it could have been filled with a lot of ups and downs. But through it all, you are with us, and we give thanks for that. And we don't know what to expect in this coming year, but we want to draw closer to you, to follow you more closely, to obey you, to live for you. And so we pray that as we begin this new year, in this first Sunday of the new year, we want to express our love for you, we want to worship you, and we want to look into your word to see what you would want us to do, how we are to grow our lives. So we pray for your guidance of your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for your word that teaches us and speaks to us. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open and moldable in your sight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you can see, my title for this sermon is Fishing as a Lifestyle. But actually, this was not my original title. My original title for this message was Let's Go Fishing. And that sounded like pretty good at the time. I was thinking, yeah, let's all go fishing. And I don't know about you, whether you have had any fish stories, if you had any fishing experience in the past. But when I was younger, my parents took us to go fishing every once in a while. We had a family friend that actually had a boat. And a lot of times we would get on that boat and we would go fishing, freshwater fishing. But as I got older, things got busier, and I probably hadn't gone fishing in decades, okay? But until last year, many of you know Hua Chin. He got married last year. He's from the Newton English campus there. And so they had sort of the guys' night out or day out or whatever, and we went deep sea fishing. And so we went out on a boat early in the morning out into the Atlantic and went deep sea fishing. And so that was quite an experience. Must admit, I got a little seasick and all that kind of thing, but it was a lot of fun. And so when I'm thinking about Let's Go Fishing and thinking about that title, I was thinking, yeah, that's a good title, motivating title, Let's Go Fishing. But I realized that for most people, They don't go fishing. And if they do go fishing, it's every once in a while. It's like, you know, a special occasion. It's like when you have time, you have some leisure time, you can just, let's go fishing, right? And so that's definitely not the impression that I want to leave with you. That fishing is not an occasional thing. It's not something that you do as a special event or a special occasion, but rather it's as a lifestyle. And I believe that as we look into this passage, we will really see that fishing is not a special event, a fun event necessarily, but a lifestyle change. And so let's look into this passage, and you'll see the outline in your program. And the first point is we want to look at the call of Christ. And we find this in verse 16 and part of verse 17. It says, passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me. And I'll just stop there. So, a lot of times when people look at this passage, they jump immediately to this fishing metaphor. But if you examine this passage carefully and look at exactly what Jesus says, there's only one command in this passage, and that is to follow me. Now, Jesus was not telling Simon and Andrew to physically follow him in the sense that he was some sort of human GPS or something like that, right? He's not telling them, oh yeah, you guys are lost, just follow me, right? He's not saying that. In fact, what he's saying is somewhat of a technical term. Literally, in the Greek, it means come after me. And that means to follow a person, a teacher, a rabbi, as a disciple. That's what he was saying to them when he said, follow me. It means, come follow me as a disciple. And so this is the command that Jesus gives to Simon and to Andrew. And a disciple is a person who trusts in Christ and is in the process of becoming like Christ in the way that they think, in the way they feel, in the way they act, to be like Jesus. So, so if we want to be like Jesus, if we want to be his disciple or follower, we certainly want to have the same kind of passion and purpose that Jesus had. And so what kind of purpose and passion did Jesus have? Well, in Luke 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So that tells us that Jesus' purpose and plan in his life was to seek and to save those who were spiritually lost. That's why he came into the world, to come to die for us who are sinners, who were lost. And so in Luke 19:10, it tells us his passion. And so when Jesus says, come and follow me, certainly, yes, it means living a good character and serving people and loving people, but certainly it must include this passion of Jesus to seek and to save that which was lost. And then we should also note in this call that Jesus is speaking to fishermen, all right? It says that in the last part of verse 16, for Simon and Andrew, for they were fishermen. And fishermen was a very common occupation, particularly around that Sea of Galilee. And we should note that Jesus is calling people, and he's calling, you might say, ordinary people. And he's calling people who are not necessarily royalty. He's not calling kings. He's not calling military leaders. He's not calling a priest or scribe or people who necessarily knew a lot about, the Old Testament or the Bible at that time, or the super rich. He was calling fishermen, ordinary people. And I don't know if it's, what's the ordinary occupation in this congregation. It's much more diverse, but if this was one of the Chinese congregation, I would say, it's kind of like being in the restaurant business, all right? It's a very ordinary kind of job, all right? Nothing special about it. And notice that Jesus is calling people, and particularly here, in this case, fishermen. He's calling four fishermen who become part of the 12 apostles and disciples of Jesus. And so Jesus is calling people, hopefully that we think like you and me, just ordinary people. And then we should note that this call is to imperfect people, flawed people. How do we know that? Well, notice that some of the people that he was calling, he said he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon. And many of you may not recognize it, but Simon is the same person as Simon Peter. Okay? And so many of you say, oh, Peter. He was certainly one of Jesus' disciples. And from what we can gather together from the gospel accounts, Peter was a person that certainly was imperfect. He was flawed in many ways. He was certainly not a sophisticated, refined person, but rather he was a impulsive person. He was a big talker, you might say. He had a big mouth, okay? And one of the things, for instance, that he did before Jesus went to the cross is that when Jesus told him, yes, I am going to go to the cross and die for your sins, he disputed Jesus. He said, oh, Jesus, no, you're doing things the wrong way. And he definitely said, I will defend you. Don't worry. And yet we know from the gospel accounts that Peter denied Jesus three times before he was crucified. And so we know that Peter was a flawed person. He was a big talker. He was impulsive. He was shooting off his mouth. And yet Jesus called him to be a disciple, a follower. And so we know from that, as we look at, for instance, in the Bible, that God calls not just ordinary people, but imperfect people, flawed people. And certainly we see that throughout the Bible. People like, even in Genesis, Noah, right? Who built the ark. And yet, he was a person that got drunk. Abraham, he was too old. Jacob, he was a liar. Many people think that Moses was a stutterer. David had an extramarital affair. Jonah ran from God. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Paul was a murderer. And so throughout the Bible, and certainly here in this case, God calls ordinary people, but he calls flawed people. He knows that these people are sinners. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to do things that are wrong. And yet Jesus calls them to be his disciples, to be his followers. And so I think we should note that, particularly at the beginning here, that Jesus uses, you might say, people like you and me. But secondly, we look at the commitment of Christ. Again, looking at Mark chapter 1, verse 17, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Now, why did Jesus use this metaphor of fishing? What does that mean? And certainly, when he says fishers of men, I think he's using men in a generic way. He's fishers of men and women. But why use this metaphor of fishing? Well, because he was talking to fishermen, right? He was talking to people whose occupation was fishing. And certainly Jesus used other metaphors in his other addresses. For instance, he talked about shepherds, a shepherd seeking the lost sheep. He's talking about workers sent out into the harvest field. And so as he was talking to fishermen, people whose occupation was going out to get fish, he wanted to use an analogy that they would understand. Now, from what we understand about fishing in those days, there were probably three main methods of fishing. Number one, there was this, what we would see as the hook and line method, all right? And that is, you could have a stick, and you'd have a line attached to it, and you would have a hook and some bait onto there. And so people could go out there and, you know, lay out their line and catch fish that way. But a second method is called the dragnet, okay? And that is, they would use a net that was sort of shaped like a cone. And many times they would use a boat or perhaps even two boats, and this net would be between the two boats, and they would be rowing along, and they would be scooping up a bunch of fish as they were going along. A dragnet is actually described in Matthew chapter 13. But there was also a third method of fishing in those days, and that was to have a large circular net, which was about 9 feet in diameter. And what they would do is put rocks or weights around the perimeter of this circular net. And so they would kind of swing it out, sort of like Frisbee style or something like that, and it would go out, and immediately it would drop down because of the weight, and all the fish that were in that area would be captured by this net, okay? So we call this a casting net. And so these were perhaps the three different methods that people used to catch fish in those days. And so Jesus is talking to fishermen. He's trying to describe to them something spiritual, and he's using something that they would understand. And so in those days, when people went fishing, basically they were capturing fish, right, with one of these three methods. But here, Jesus was talking about capturing people, talking about capturing men and women. But obviously, he's not saying, oh, we should capture people by force or violence or something like that, right? He's talking about capturing people by teaching and persuasion. He's talking about helping people to become followers of Jesus. And he particularly, the process is talking particularly about this initial process of becoming a disciple by sharing the good news with people. And how do we know that Jesus doesn't talk about violence and things like that? Because we can read in the Bible, in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, and in other places, that they weren't using violence. In fact, they were doing all this preaching and teaching, sharing individually and with groups about the good news. They was offering people the hope of eternal life. And so they were doing good things to people, trying to attract people. And so, Jesus wanted to use an analogy that these fishermen could understand. He's talking about capturing people, not by force, but by teaching and persuasion. And certainly that goes in line with what Jesus said at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go there, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So when Jesus is using this analogy of fishing, he's telling people to go out and make disciples to fulfill the Great Commission. And so he wants his people to, his followers to go out and capture more people by teaching and persuasion, and that this should be part of their lifestyle. All right? So again, we think of fishing as something that we would do every once in a while. When we have fun, want to have fun, we want to have leisure, that's what we would do, go fishing. But as Jesus was talking to fishermen whose occupation was fishing, then he wanted them to understand you have to have a change in lifestyle. Instead of fishing for fish, you would be fishing for men and to women. And please note that Jesus commits to making us fishers of men and women. Again, in verse 17, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." A lot of times when people read this real fast, they sort of think, oh, I have to become a fisher of men and women. No, Jesus makes a promise here. He makes a commitment here. He says to them, first, follow me, but if you follow him, what's he going to do? I will make you become fishers of men. And so he's saying, this is my responsibility, right? He's not saying, oh, you have to make yourself into fishers of men. Jesus is saying, if you follow me, I will make you become fishers of men. And remember, we said that Jesus is calling ordinary people. He's calling flawed people, right? Sinful people. And he is going to make them become fishers of men. And so if we look at, again, the life of somebody like Peter and say, oh, he was just a fisherman. I mean, he wasn't a priest. He wasn't a king or anything else like that. He was an ordinary, sinful person. And so, yet Jesus took him and he became a fisher of men and women. If you read in the book of Acts, you'll see how this Peter, who was a, you might say, uneducated person, became a person as he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to preach to lots and lots of people. And in Acts chapter 2, as he preached, 3,000 people got saved. Right? How did that happen? Well, Jesus committed himself, says, I will make you become fishers of men. And so he certainly did that in the case of Peter, that he took an uneducated, flawed person, and he made this person into a fisher of men and women. And it didn't happen overnight, because Jesus spent 3 years of his life building into the life of his 12 disciples, right? There was a lot of teaching that Jesus did, a lot of demonstrating that Jesus did, a lot of sending out people to try different things, to test trial different things that he told them to do. And so Jesus was teaching, shaping, molding these people over a 3-year period. Now you may say, well, okay, how can Jesus make me into a fisher of men? I'm just an ordinary person. I don't know that much about the Bible. If people ask me questions, I would be totally stumped. And so I could not be a fisher of men and women. But remember what Jesus said, follow me, and I, Jesus, will make you become fishers of men. All right? So whose responsibility is it? It's Jesus. Our part is to follow him. And if we follow Him, He will shape us, He will mold us, He will find different ways to build into our lives so that we become fishers of men and women. I remember in my own life that, you know, as I heard sermons about, oh yeah, you need to go out and share the gospel with people and things like that. And I remember sometimes people would even ask me, oh, what do you guys learn at church? What do you do there, you know? And I would just be tongue-tied. I wouldn't know what to say. And I would just stumble over my words. If people asked me questions, I would be totally stumped. I wouldn't know what to do. And I felt like, oh, I could never become someone who would be able to share the gospel. I was too nervous, you know, because God is just looking for these highly educated people, people who knew all about the Bible, people who were extroverted, people who know how to talk and persuade people. I'm not one of those people. But Jesus can shape and mold us over time. And yes, I did not personally sit under Jesus for 3 years, but God finds different ways to shape and to mold us. And so God uses the church to help us, to build us up. And so I used to go to Sunday school. I used to go to fellowship. I used to go to small groups. I would listen and read books and listen to sermons and things like that. And so over time, God began to shape and mold me. I remember particularly was very fearful to me was, oh, what if they ask me a question that I can't answer, right? And people ask all kinds of different questions, like, how do you know there's a God, for instance? Or how do you know Jesus is the only way? Or, you know, lots of different questions like that. What about science and all those different things? How do you reconcile all that? And so I didn't know the answer to those things. But I bought a lot of books. I went to conferences. I went to seminars. And over time, I was able to learn and to grow and be prepared to be able to deal with whatever questions. And usually there's probably like 10 or 12 questions that lots of people ask that even I asked before I became a Christian. And if you know how to satisfactorily answer those questions, then, you know, a lot of the problems are gone already. And so God can purpose, He says, I will make you become fishers of men. And God can use, in the case of Simon and Andrew, He built into their lives personally over 3 years. But for me, God used lots of different methods, and it could be, we have the availability of books, and in my days, it was cassette tapes and, you know, listening to things like that. But now we have the internet and all these things, all these resources that we can enjoy, right? And so we have no excuse, right? We have no excuse because all those resources are out there for God to shape us to become fishers of men. And so certainly this is Jesus, promise to us, He will make you become fishers of men. And so we need to allow God, as we follow Him, to shape us and to mold us to become these fishers of men and women that He wants us to be. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone will become an upfront evangelist type of person, because a lot of times we sort of thinking fishers of men must be those people who, like Billy Graham, who gets big crowds and all that kind of thing. But it could be that God uses us to reach out to people individually. Remember, I described for you three different ways of fishing in that time period. And yes, there were nets. They were catching large, you know, amounts of fish, but there was also that hook and line method as well, individual method. And I think for a lot of us, that's where God wants us to do the fishing, right? That we would do it individually, not necessarily getting crowds of people and being a big evangelist, but rather individual people, people who are around us, people in our family, our classmates, our co-workers, our neighbors. And so Jesus will also shape us to become fishers of men and women, even using, you might say, the hook and line method, all right? And certainly there's a lot of analogies that you could utilize in thinking about fishing. Certainly, okay, I have to use the right equipment. I have to use the right bait. I have to choose the right time. I have to be patient. I have to be persistent. I have to recognize sometimes it's not going to be easy. There are times I'm not going to catch. I won't even get a nibble, right? But if you're patient and long enough, you will, you know, you'll catch your fish. And so there's all these analogies, and maybe this is what Jesus is trying to teach us with this analogy of fishing, that as we think about fishing, that we can apply to making disciples and sharing the good news. The last point is our commitment to the call of Christ. And please note that we need to respond to His command. His command to us, there's only one command, follow me. Be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Be committed to grow to be like Jesus. And certainly that begins by trusting in Christ, by believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins, but it also includes living for Christ, living to become like Christ, right? And so we note in verse 18, and immediately, that is Simon and Andrew, they left their nets and followed him. Okay? So when Jesus said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men, there had to be a response. They could have just said, no, it's too hard. I don't want to change anything in my life. I'm happy the way I am. No. They immediately left their nets. And verse 19, in going on a little farther, he saw James and the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who were in their boats mending the nets, and immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. So we note there are four people here who heeded Jesus' call. Jesus' command to them was, follow me, be my disciple, right? And they did. They left their nets, they left their occupation, and they followed Jesus. Now we should note that this is not the first time that these four people had met or learned about Jesus, okay? Because sometimes we look at it and say, immediately, all right, this must be their first encounter with Jesus. I mean, imagine if anyone would come up and say, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Would you be willing to, you know, immediately just change jobs and just follow this person? No, because we need to understand that they were exposed to Jesus earlier. If you were to look at John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42, which we're not going to, you know, read, but if you were to jot that reference down, we realize that Simon and Andrew were followers of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had already pointed out Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And so they already had seen Jesus and recognized that he is the Messiah and certainly the Lamb of God. And this perhaps took place maybe a few months before this passage that we're looking at. So they were recognized that Jesus was the Messiah already. And also, in sequence, if you were to look at another part of the Bible, in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, there was an incident where Simon Peter had gone fishing all night and they didn't catch anything. But Jesus said, go back out and try again. And they caught lots of fish, right? So that their boats were about sinking. Again, this happened just prior to this incident. And so they knew that Jesus was the Messiah. They knew he had these supernatural powers. And so my point in that is to help us to understand that it's not just some immediate decision that people make. That a lot of times, and it could be an immediate decision, but I think for most people, they have to think it out. They have to wrestle with God, perhaps. Then they have to think about it. And certainly that's in line with what Jesus said about discipleship. That we have to count the costs. And so we have to wrestle, who's going to be in control of my life? Who am I going to follow? What is the purpose in my life? And so certainly here, Jesus was calling Simon and Andrew and James and John to leave their occupation, to become, you might say, full-time missionaries or full-time Christian workers. And so they had a lot to give up. They had to count the cost. In the instance of James and John, it particularly talks about leaving their family. So sometimes if God calls you to the mission field, you may not see your family. I mean, and family is very, very important to us. And yet, Jesus needs to become even more important to us. It mentions here that they left their occupation, something that they were comfortable with. That certainly when the father died, they would pass on the family business to them. And it was not some insignificant small business. It mentions here that they had hired servants, right? And so they had to walk away from the family business and perhaps a lucrative family business, okay? And yet they were willing to do that. So because they had wrestled with this and they said, okay, Jesus Christ, he is the Lamb of God. He came to take away our sins. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And I need to follow him. And so if he tells me to do something, I need to be willing to obey it. It's not a matter of should I do it or not do it. It's a matter of what does he want me to do? A few months ago, during the summer, Tim and Christine Fung, Pastor Fung's son and daughter-in-law, came to this congregation and shared about their ministry, that they were leaving, again, the United States and going to North Africa. They had served many years in Kenya, in Africa, and so they came back for a period of time, and then they were leaving again. And they could have just said, okay, you know, I could get a nice job here in the United States. I could, you know, have a comfortable life. Why are you guys leaving? And so Christine's answer for them both was because he is worth it. That is God. He is worth it. And so they recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they were obeying him and doing and following, whatever it meant. And for some people, it means leaving their vocation, leaving their life here in the United States and perhaps going overseas. But I think for most people, when he calls them to be fishers of men and women, many times he would want us to stay right where we are at. Because there are fish all around us, right? There's all kinds of fish. And so we can also be fishers of men and women right here because there are people who are lost, who don't know Jesus Christ, and so they need to hear the good news. And so you can stay right where you're at, right where your job is, but we should be willing to go if Jesus tells us and calls us to it. And so we can be fishers of men, both, you know, and overseas, or we can be fishers of men and women right here where we're at. And so the church's theme in this year is mobilize to evangelize. And so when we initially thought about it, we said, how do we mobilize people to evangelize? That is, to share the good news. Well, initially you would think like, oh, let's teach people how to share the gospel. Let's invite some evangelists in and just tell people to go and invite people to listen to this evangelist. Let's teach them certain techniques. But rather than that, we want to teach people that fishing is a lifestyle, you might say. That it's not an occasional thing that we would do, but it's part of who we are in our daily lives. And so we first need to mobilize ourselves, become, to obey the command to follow Jesus. That's the most important thing. We want to prepare our congregation. You might say discipleship is the key to evangelism. That is, we need to be filled with people who are followers, devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And that's how we would mobilize ourselves to go out and evangelize. Not just to learn some techniques and things like that, not to do something on an occasional basis, but as part of our lifestyle. And so as Jesus calls us to follow him, he will he has committed himself to make us become fishers of men. And so it goes back to the question, will we follow him? And will we make him the leader and the captain, you might say, of our lives, so that whatever he tells us to do, we would be willing to do. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we are convicted by what Jesus says here. We recognize that those who heard it, Simon and Andrew, James and John, they immediately followed Jesus. But for many of us, we're hesitant, we're not sure. But help us to realize that you're worth it, that you created each one of us, that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. You sacrifice yourself for us. Help us to be willing to follow you, no matter where it leads to, whether it means staying here, whether it means going overseas, whatever you ask us to do, we would be willing to do. And that as we commit ourselves to you, you will make us into fishers of men and women. We don't feel qualified. We feel very ordinary. We feel we can recognize all of our flaws. But yet you use people like Peter and Andrew and others. As they followed you, you made them, shaped them, molded them into fishers of men and women. So we pray that you would raise up people who would be devoted followers of Jesus, shape them and mold them into fishers of men and women, so that we can reach our world, both here and around the world, with the good news and bring glory and honor to your name. So help particularly those who are struggling with following you, that you would remind them of how you are worth it, Lord, that you created us, you sacrifice for us, so that we could become your children. And we pray that we would follow you and obey you no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.